throughout my life, there have been a couple of moments where I was almost at that point. And someone else once asked me, he said, Gregor, after a big failure, after something that didn't work out, how do you cope with that? And I thought about it and I said, you know what? Actually, I shrug it off and I just start new. I think that's something that I learned from my piloting days. If you're in a cockpit, if you're in the pilot in command, and there is something happening, you cannot think for 15 minutes about that problem. You need to focus on how I'm going to solve it. What's my next step?
Welcome to the Drive to Succeed podcast.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Drive to Succeed podcast. If it's your first time tuning in today, my name is Daniel, the host of the show. The Drive to Succeed exists to bring you new knowledge, wisdom, and truth in the world of entrepreneurship and self-development. Today's guest is no other than the managing partner and co-founder of Hotel Data Cloud. Gregor Ammon, an ex-pilot turned into a serial entrepreneur, shared his journey how HDZ tech startup created a unique solution that helps the global hospitality industry win back its customers and build confidence with their overall travel decision making. From reinventing oneself to building a tech startup, increasing value of shareholders' money to VC and protecting your IP, this episode is a must. So without further ado, let's welcome the one and only Gregor Ammon.
Gregor Ammon, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about today and ready to kick off the session.
Absolutely. Yes, I think I've been following you for a while on Instagram, and it's really interesting how internet bridges gap, you know, building these online relationships, which also transcribe to offline. But one thing that the reason I'm pulling that up is because your company, Hotel Data Cloud, is bridging the gap between consumers and, you know, hotels, tourism, on the industry, on the way you provide content, right? So yes. before we go on to detail about what Hotel Data Cloud is, can you just give us a little bit background about who you are? I know you're a pilot, you know, how this story started.
Yes. So the whole story how HTC actually came to be started when, after 12 years of flying, I was flying business jets, I was flying for United Nations in Africa. After that, I thought there has to be some other profession that I can do where I can be not traveling the whole year. I mean, in my most intensive year of flying, I spent 283 nights in hotel rooms in 1 year. So there's a point, I mean, if you're young, that's really nice, you get to see places, but then after 12 years, I got really bored. So I thought, well, with my knowledge, at least of hotels in Europe and Eastern Europe and a little bit of Africa, we were never happy about the hotel choices that the operations made for us. For example, in Munich, the airport is very far away from the city. Regularly, when we would be flying to Munich, they would book us in an airport room. And then if you stay 3 days, it takes you 45 minutes to go to the city. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other hand, sometimes if you have a 12-hour overlay only in Moscow, for example, again, the airport is very far away. They would not book us at the airport hotel, but somewhere in downtown, and you have a 2-hour travel time each way. So I thought, well, there has to be a better way. And I was looking at companies doing that, and nobody was doing that. So I thought, well, with me knowing most of the destinations that business jets fly to, if I set up a company only catering to executive aviation companies, that should be a success. So we started doing that. We had a relatively small team. All the processes were really manual. I had a back office team in the Philippines, actually. A guy that is actually still working with me for HTC now. He's such an amazing person that I just said, Roberto, I'm doing a new company. Do you want to join me? But we were doing all those requests manually. But then, because we were the only ones doing it, it was a really big success, right, quickly. And then I understood, I said, wait a minute, I'm buying from my suppliers and I'm getting favorably rates now because of my volume. It actually makes sense to expand it into smaller travel agencies and tour operators. Because again, with the combined buying power that we had, the prices went down even further and I had a small markup of a couple of percent on that. So that automated a little bit, and I expanded from companies to Singapore all the way to California, and serving startups mainly, and initially German clients. But one of my number one issues that I encountered was content, descriptive content. And being new in the industry from being a pilot before and going into hotel reservations, I thought, well, that's an easy one. Let me just Google hotel description database and take the best result that comes up. So I Googled and I Googled and I Googled, and there was nothing coming up. I was looking for a perfect solution. I didn't even find a mediocre one because there was none on the market. And everybody until today that I speak to about that problem from outside the industry tells me, Gregor, don't tell me a content issue in 2020, it was 2016 back then, is not solved already. That should be something that is solved really quickly. And I think the reason for that not being solved is, if you look at the travel industry, how hotel content or hotel reservations were distributed 20 years ago, You have tour operators, travel agencies that have a relatively small amount of hotels they would directly contract. So if you have 1,000 hotels, it is easy to approach them directly, to call them, to email them, to even send somebody that you have on the ground at the destination. Go to them and see how the rooms look like, where the facilities are and whatnot. But now, because of all the API technology that you can have, a small travel agency, and I still considered myself a small travel agency at the point, we had access to 1 million hotels globally from over 60 suppliers. Wow. And you get all those rates through APIs. And it's really automated, but content was always neglected. And I approached a couple of my suppliers and they told me, Gregor, you know, you have my prices, you know the hotel code, just take the content from somebody else. But everybody was doing that. And I said, well, if... So content was sort of the ugly little kid that nobody wanted to play with. And it's also not the core business. So I met my co-founder, Kevin, who used to be a venture capitalist back in the days. I said, Kevin, we need to do something about content. And it took me 3 months to convince him, because also he told me, Gregor, that can't be an issue. Yeah. I said, no, it is. Trust me. So we went into trade shows. We went to ITB in Berlin, which is the largest travel trade show globally. We went to WTM. We went to Arabian Travel Market here in Dubai. And actually here in Dubai, it was when it clicked with Kevin, when I said, Gregor, this is really an issue. That is an issue that is so big that it's the one startup that I want to do, and I want to move away from the corporate VC world and build HTC with you. And that was 2016. And since then, every time somebody asks me, is there something you would have done differently? I always reply to them knowing that now, I would have started HTC a year later. When we started 2016, there was no understanding on both sides of the market, travel resellers as well as hotels, how important content really is, how you can differentiate yourself from your competition by giving better descriptions, more intensive descriptions. And COVID actually has propelled that for us.
Understood. And I'm just really curious because for me, this concept is a little bit foreign to me. I mean, this is the first time I heard someone producing content or someone, you know, automating the content and making sure that each customer see what, you know, the hotels based on the preferences, based on, you know, psychographics like you mentioned. But I'm just really curious because obviously there's booking.com or any other like these portals. What differentiate you from, you know, from these portals?
Yeah. So here's the thing. We are a B2B link between hotels and companies like booking.com. So HTC is not consumer facing, but we're a B2B service facilitating the possibility for the hotels to have a one-stop shop, which is HTC. They input everything in our platform, and then we distribute it through an API to the Bookings, Expedias, Tajawal, Wegos of the world. Yes. And what we've seen is that hotels really struggle, and they're not feeling to be in control of their content. So there was one example I had personally. I wanted to go to Thailand for vacation, and I was booking in my own system, and I still had my hotel room wholesale company. And that was, I think it was 2017. But the remark in the hotel I wanted to book said, caution, there will be a restaurant renovation at the beach in 2015. So that remark was 2 years old. Renovation was completed already a long time ago, but it was still stuck in the system. Because the way hotel distribution works is the hotel, they have a couple of partners, but then those partners resell to somebody else. And the hotels have direct influence of their partners. And the hotel GM, I booked it, I went there, I talked to the GM. And he was shocked. He said, Gregor, I emailed everybody of my partners that renovation is complete. I sent them the new pictures and everything. But the problem is if that layer fails to convey that information further down the line, the final customer on another website that makes the booking is not aware of that. And that's what we're solving for the hotels. If you have free parking, if you have free breakfast, but the client doesn't know that because on the booking website where it's booking, that's not showing up, it's as if you would not have it. And if the booking website makes a mistake and the client arrives at the hotel, even if it's not the hotel's fault, of course the guy is going to scream at the front desk guy. And the hotel needs to to pay them an upgrade or to get a bad review on TripAdvisor.
Yes.
So what we really understood is the only way to solve the content issue, because you have so many players in the market, because you have so many intermediaries, you need to have a single source of truth. And that's what HTC is doing for 12,000 hotels globally at the moment in 152 countries it is.
Yes.
We have one hotel in Greenland even signed up. And tell you honestly, when COVID started and the lockdown started, I called Kevin. I said, Kevin, this is the worst industry we can possibly be in. We are in travel. I mean, travel is shutting down, right?
Yes.
It's declining 98% globally. I think we need to close HTC in a couple of months. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, COVID-19 has actually helped us grow quicker and bigger than anticipated. Because now hotels really understand they need to be in control of their descriptions. And we've added a COVID-19 section in HTC, for example, serving, 94 attributes that go from, the check-in, is it contactless check-in, do you need gloves, are masks provided for the clients, is the baggage somehow disinfected before it reaches the room? Mm-hmm. And with constant changing health and safety regulations, hotels understand that they really need to update the client regularly, because otherwise the client does not have all the information it needs to take an educated decision.
Yes.
If you're going for a staycation, for example, in the UAE, you know relatively well what the precautions are and what the regulations are. But imagine you go to Europe, because travel is not possible, you don't know, is there going to be a buffet breakfast? Is the spa's open? If it's open, do I need to bring my own towels? That's all information that you don't know if you're not within your home turf. And even if you're in your home turf, that's really difficult to find out. So we give the hotels the possibility to update that on a daily basis. And then as the better informed the clients are, the happier they are, obviously, because they make the right choice. They come to the hotel, they're not surprised. And happy clients are always returning clients.
Yeah, exactly. And the way I understand it, so it's a hotel data cloud is similar to a database, which is centralized, which
correct.
Distributes
yes.
it to hotels and the portals. So making sure that it is synchronized in one information and streamline it towards the customers.
Absolutely.
I totally understand. And just a quick one, because basically you started here in the UAE, which is, you could say, a travel hub, right, for all over Europe, Asia. What are the main challenges in getting those hotels signing up? And I think you also have investors in place as well. So how did you pitch that with investors? And, because, like you mentioned, the industry has been so long and no one has really looked on to this kind of problem. So, how did you, pitch that and make sure that it's something unique?
Yeah. So that is our biggest opportunity and our biggest challenge at the same time. The biggest opportunity, because until that date, nobody is doing what we are doing on a global scale, automating that content distribution and getting all the content from hotels. There are a couple of databases out there, but they a lot of times they source information from third parties, again, not allowing the hotels to really be in charge of their content. But then the problem is that we're facing is there's a lot of education that we need to do with hotels. Comparing it, if you're selling cutlery, if you're selling a bed linen, you call the hotel, everybody knows immediately which is the person you want to talk to. We call hotels, we tell them about HTC, and the reaction is, well, that sounds interesting, but let me find out who is responsible for that budget. And still, we have a very low price point. It's $1,000 a year per hotel, which translates to $2.70 a day, which is not even the price of a coffee per day. But then we've seen that because we're solving issues over multiple departments, it is a reservation, it's marketing, it's social, it's online distribution. It's not always easy to pinpoint the exact person that says, okay, I'm willing to take that budget. That solves my issue, but also solves three other departments' issues. So what we realized that while direct sales is possible, it does not make sense for us. At $1,000, you need to do a couple of meetings. You don't have 100% conversion. That's not going to work. But what we realized is because the content users, so the travel websites, the travel resellers need our content urgently, they can be our partners in reselling the product because they already know which person they need to talk to at the hotel. And that's what we're doing now. We have recently signed with WeGo.com, which is a Metasearch website. We are powering their backend for content distribution. We're talking to a couple of wholesalers. We have signed Saudi Airlines. We're talking to Fly Dubai. That's all companies that understand how important it is for them as well to streamline costs, to get that automated. There is one other big booking company that we're talking to. They have 50 people sitting in Egypt. And the only thing they do is they make content better on their website because what they take in at the moment is so terrible, it's so below par. They can save those 50 people if they work with HTC. And that's what we currently lay our focus on. Because for us, this is one discussion with one partner, but then it spreads to 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 hotels. And the sale is made for us almost automatically.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's really pretty genius when you think about it, instead of approaching all of these hotels one by one. Because these portals, they already have the database and they can just upsell whatever package they have.
Yeah, they have the information, they have the people they need to talk to. Mm-hmm. And if you have a startup and you want to scale globally, if you want to be the standard for hotel content distribution, you cannot do that one by one with 1.5, 2 million properties globally. Yeah. We would need a massive sales force. And that's something at a startup stage that we cannot afford.
Interesting.
So you mentioned our investors before. Initially, we self-funded a business, Kevin and I. We put our money in. But then there was a point when we said, we know it's working. We are way beyond MVP. We have signed up 11,000 hotels. It's time to scale now. And we started our fundraising process in February.
Mm-hmm. This year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then COVID hit, and we're like, oh, God, this is not going to work. But we're very lucky that we closed our funding round in April because the investors said we can see beyond COVID. Of course, travel is not happening now, but travel will pick up again. People want to travel. And if you look at it, the first thing that a lot of people want to do is when you ask them, what do you want to do after lockdown happens? Everybody says, I want to travel. Because they understand now what they cannot do when borders are closed and what they're really missing. And of course, there's Zoom and whatnot. So business travel might be in a different space, but I see a lot of people already having Zoom fatigue, what they call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is something different. It is something different for us now. This podcast would be different if we would be sitting next to each other in a room than being over camera and microphone and Zoom and probably internet goes slower or more or something. So people want to meet. They want to have personal interactions. They want to go to a beach somewhere. They want to go and see a new city. So I think, and if you look at all the other crises, I mean, SARS and everything in Asia, every time without fail, travel came back stronger on the other side after the crisis came because people want to, they're eager to do that. I think it will be different because of the health and safety regulations that are in place. Mm-hmm. But our investors understood that. But it's also really something really exciting for HTC that we just learned last week. The University of Las Vegas has the Lee Family Foundation Business School. Wow. And they announced a $1 million prize called Lee Prize for companies that help the hospitality industry solve issues for actually COVID and after COVID, how to regenerate the business. And HTC won $200,000 for that. So we're very proud of that. That is something that can bridge the time until we know hotels are willing to pay, hotels are able to pay again. Because at the moment, for COVID relief, we told hotels, look, guys, you don't need to pay us. We understand that without occupancy, a lot of hotels have shut down at the moment temporarily.
Yes.
So we said, look, get ready with HTC. We make you ready to recoup some of the losses that you have endured. The moment you guys don't need to pay us, once you reopen, you can start paying. So we need the additional funds in order for us to bridge the gap. And we're currently also in our second funding round. Interesting talks with investors, and we hope we can close that really soon as well.
Yes, awesome. And when you mentioned about this Lee Prize on Las Vegas, I mean, how do you usually find these opportunities? Because obviously some other startups would be like, you know, that's Las Vegas, this is UAE, you know, how do these guys find like these competitions and earn some, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually very happy that Kevin, my co-founder, he's a shark in that regard. Like, he finds stuff that I wouldn't even be looking for. He also found, I think he had, Lee Price was something where he had a conversation with a venture capital company in the US, focusing on travel mainly. And I said, guys, your product is awesome. The problem is we're only doing $2 million as minimum ticket size, and that is too big for HTC at the moment. I mean, sure, if somebody wants to give me $2 million for the business, that's fine, but not at a valuation that we can currently justify. And there's no point in just collecting money from investors that sits in a bank account. Yes. Because I don't think that we're currently raising $1 million, but I don't think that with $2 million we can scale twice as much. There's only so much you can do at the same time, especially talking to our partners, talking to larger corporate bodies. Mm-hmm. Things take time, and if you throw money at it by having a larger workforce, that doesn't necessarily accelerate things. But yeah, this VC in the US said, look guys, we're not doing an investment, but we love to help you. Look at that Lee Price, because I think that's something really fitting for you guys. And I think 250 companies applied from all around the world. We were within 9 other finalists, and then we made it to the top 5 and got the money.
Awesome. Also, I think you've been also nominated. Is it nominated or awarded by United Nations Travel?
Yes, correct. So United Nations had, and that was pretty early in the year, I think that was February, March. They looked for companies who helped the travel industry restart tourism. And they understood that HTC is actually a healing solution for tourism. So we were in the finale for the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what do you think world travel is heading now? I mean, in UAE, you know, some hotels are starting to open up. You know, is the industry looking, you know, optimistic, or what are your thoughts?
Well, at the moment, I think everybody's a little bit fearing the second wave. I mean, numbers are really rising globally. If you look at Europe, some companies are introducing curfews again. So looking in that crystal ball, I think in the long run, as I mentioned earlier, everybody knows that it's going to restart. It's just a question of time. I think realistically, going back to sort of a way how we did it previously, we need to wait for the vaccine. Other than that, if you look at the landscape here in the UAE, of course, typical city hotels are not doing as well. But if you look at the Northern Emirates, they're actually not doing that badly because people cannot travel out of the country and could not travel at all for a long time. I mean, borders were shut until what, July. All those staycations really boomed because people said, I want to go somewhere. If I cannot go to Europe, if I cannot go to the Seychelles or Maldives or somewhere else, I go to Ras Al Khaimah and have a nice vacation there. So as horrible as it is for a couple of other properties, I think for some others, it really propelled their business.
Interesting. And what made you decide to jump into this industry? I'm sure you have a lot of transferable skills aside from content and everything. Like, is there a stroke of inspiration? Like, you know, let's just go into this market or just go into this industry.
I wanted to pause for a quick moment and ask for a small favor. If you haven't yet subscribed to the Drive to Succeed podcast on Apple Podcasts or in Spotify, please feel free to do so. And if you are an iOS user, I would encourage you to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, because this way it will help the podcast gain more visibility and attract a bigger audience, because this podcast really exists with only your help. That being said, let's go back to the rest of the episode.
Well, the stroke of inspiration was always that I don't feel it makes sense to sit on the drawing board and then sort of try to really hard to think of a problem that might be or might not be having somebody else, and then trying to solve that. What I mean is, if you see an issue in your current line of work or with friends or something, and there's no good solution for that, then go into that. Rather than to invent a problem and then go to the market and probably you find out, nobody needs my product. And we were really scared initially that HTC could be something like that. For the first year, without fail, every meeting Kevin and I went into, we said, okay, this is going to be the meeting where someone tells us why it doesn't work or why what we've overlooked. And there is somebody out there already doing it better than we currently can do that. And in every meeting, we got confirmation that this is not the case. With a small caveat, with every meeting from somebody in the industry who actually knows the problem. We had tons of meetings, especially in the beginning with potential investors and potential partners who were not from the industry. Everybody telling us, yeah, but you know, it's B2B and it's, you know, it's a database. That's not really interesting. And I agree, we are very niche. It's not easy to elevate a pitch HTC in two sentences. For somebody to understand the big opportunity that we have. We talked to an investor 2 weeks ago and said, you know, guys, what I like about HTC, it is you're disrupting something without stepping on anybody's toes. Because it's a win-win situation for everybody. We're not squeezing someone out of the market. Nobody wanted to be in the market because everybody said, yeah, content, you know, that's like the way. But we're helping hotels, we're helping travel resellers, we're even helping travelers. So we're a disruptor without stepping on people's toes, and that's something I really...
But isn't it a little bit risky as well to go into the market where there is no competitors? Because, I mean, if there's no competitor, then, you know...
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The risk is absolutely, what I said earlier, that there is so much education you need to do. Even hotels sometimes told us, you know, this is great, but we're only selling to Booking and Expedia. And we have direct control of the content because we have the extranet and we can log in and update. What they didn't realize that Expedia and Booking.com are reselling to other people. And then only the price gets transferred, but not the description. So once we had a meeting here with one hotel in Dubai and he told us exactly that, I was still having my previous company. I opened my laptop, I showed him in my booking system. I said, you know, you're resold by those seven wholesalers that resell to smaller travel agencies. The general manager wasn't aware. Because that's necessarily not something that he knows. But we've also seen, initially we thought, okay, we go to the GM, which is the highest guy in the hotel, and then he will instruct his people to do that. The problem here is, you need to target the people who actually have the issue. Because if a reservation department, if a revenue, a marketing, social, online distributor, at the moment they know they have an issue they cannot solve without HTC, they can only update their partners, but what goes beyond that, they cannot do. So obviously that is not something that they communicate very strongly up the chain, telling their boss, you know, I have a problem, but I cannot solve it. So a lot of times the GMs think, well, everything's fine, right? We get bookings, yeah, sure, we get complaints, but they don't understand that they could get more bookings and they could get less complaints with working with us. So that's why we understood the partner strategy, because they are not going to the GM, they're going to the actual person who are daily confronted with the issue, who said, I'm not in control, I get complaints because somebody else made a mistake, I'm missing out on bookings because their clients are not aware of my offering. And the next step for us now after COVID, after the attributes, is we go into Muslim tourism. Of course, if a Saudi traveler goes to the UAE, he knows all the hotels are halal, there is a prayer room, everything is how he expects it to be. But if he wants to go to London, if he wants to go to Paris, he has no idea. And there's so much manual research that you need to do. And I think in 2020, with the technology available, that's not something that should be the case. And that goes to so many smaller niche products. And we've seen that there is a global trend away from the big OTAs to smaller regional OTAs and also more specialized OTAs. Take an example, a person that is highly allergic. They cannot go into a room where there's a carpet. They need tiles or they need a wooden floor. So that's one of the attributes with HTC, because when we're planning that, we are thinking of those people as well. And of course, that's not relevant for everybody. That's relevant for a very niche segment of people. But that's why we have 800 attributes almost, because we want to cater to everybody. And smaller niche travel agencies, they might take our allergic traveler information and our sustainability information, but they don't care if, I don't know, a 15-inch laptop fits in the hotel safe because they're not catering to business travelers, for example. But we give with that full round-on 360 approach, we give hotels to say, you know, we understand that if we market to more niche target audiences, we can compete with the big ones, with Booking and Expedia,
yeah.
Because they throw so much money in marketing. A small hotel chain, a smaller tour operator, a smaller travel agency, they cannot compete unless they really specialize on the small niche where they're good at.
Yeah, and actually, I only realized how important your solution was when you mentioned those tiny little details like carpet, allergies, halal. No, because yeah. You know, if you love traveling, it usually takes a while how to categorize hotels. But if you know, like, all right, so this is halal, this is where the things that doesn't have, you know, the things that I have an allergy from, it's much more easier to select.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there's a study from Google and McKinsey that released that last year, where it says the average traveler takes 60 sessions,
mm-hmm.
60 sessions. And 43 different touch points.
Mm.
That's different websites, that's like TripAdvisor, that's other research, to make a single hotel booking.
Mm.
And if you look at it, the reason for that is because you don't have all the information available at one place. And that's a shame. What a waste of time. That's 3 hours something of research to make a single hotel booking. Right? That shouldn't be the case. I mean, we can order yesterday at the documentary shoot where I was, I forgot a hard drive that I needed to record my material. It took me 20 minutes with Korean Box to have that from the office shipped to where I was shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We have so amazing technology at our fingertips available. But hotel description content still works like it worked 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the way to do. There needs to be innovation. The industry was waiting for that disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that we were the only ones. I'm very happy that in 2016, I actually found a product.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't there before.
Yes.
That's actually very rare.
Yeah. And speaking of a product, I'm just really curious as well, because it's been 4 years since you started Hotel Data Cloud. How do you protect your idea, or how do you protect your startup to the fact that there are bigger players out there saying, all right, so if Hotel Data Cloud is, you know, reselling it to us, why don't we just create something similar and kick them out of the market or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that you always need to look at, starting your startup, but then constantly how can you protect you. So for the IP standpoint, obviously, there's nothing we can do. In essence, what you're doing is not rocket science. We have the database, we have an API on the other side, and we distribute that. And what we're doing also is we're distributing the content to all those booking channels for free. So content access is free. Our paying clients are the hotels. Because we said that's the only way that we can guarantee for the hotel side that as many as possible redistributors are connecting to HTC, because otherwise they're missing the point. But our big advantage, obviously, against other players in the market is that we are supplier independent. If you think of it, and a lot of people tell us, well, yes, but what if Booking.com decides to do HTC 2.0? Why would Booking.com want to help Expedia with better content? Right, that doesn't make sense. So the big advantage is for us to be independent of any supply. The other advantage that we have is just a head start that we got. I told you earlier, even if I would have 2 million from my investors right now, sales would not necessarily be quicker. We're talking about distribution partners. They have the internal mechanism. That takes time. Even if someone else comes, a heavyweight in the industry, that time will not necessarily shrink by a lot of time. So the head start that we already have is the big competitive advantage. And the other thing is we're talking to players like Google. They are using us. We're talking to Amadeus, which is the largest reservation system globally. And they said, Gregor, HTC would have been relevant in February already for Amadeus. Now it's with COVID, it's even more relevant. We want to move away from air ticketing as much as possible. We want to go a lot of into air, non-air products. And HTC can help us do that. So what we've seen in the travel industry with other acquisitions and with other partnerships, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel, I think a realistic scenario is that in a couple of years, we are bought out by some of these bigger players because they understand the benefit of HTC, but they don't necessarily need to develop it themselves. Especially for a large corporation, it's much cheaper for them to just buy us out than to try to compete with us
exactly.
and build the solution from scratch.
And is that your like main goal to be buy out or bought out by other?
Yes, I mean there's a couple of exit opportunities that we have. I mean, in theory, HTC can be a money generating product for the next 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Mm-hmm. But I also know that it's probably different for Kevin than for me. I also know that I'm also excited by new ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself leading HTC in 20 years, 25 years. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in a couple of years, I'm ready for the next product. Mm-hmm. Or for the next project, for the next startup, whatever that might be, is it in travel or somebody else? Mm-hmm. So the other opportunities is that the bigger player buys us. Expedia does a lot of acquisitions. SAP does a lot of acquisitions. Google potentially, of course, is somebody that we might be looking mm-hmm. at. There's also a possibility to take the company public. So that's our three exit options, where one is not really an exit, it's a stakes it probably. but the other two are possible exit options for any startups.
Interesting, because I mean, not all startups have like a big vision, and you know, some even have MVP, they have prototype, but they can land an investor as fast as like you did. So you're only been 4 years in the market, but your footprint, you know, globally is coming in one by one in all those locations, right?
Yeah,
and I think
so. Answer. Yeah. So the thing is, well, actually, I lost my line of thought right now. Yeah, so there was somebody at the door.
That's no fine. Worries. So basically, just a quick one. So those three are your, you know, like main exits, exit point, right? I'm just really curious as well.
Yes.
Right now, so if. Because I know you've been doing filming, you've been doing documentary and all that. You know, if you're looking back, is this something that you could have started? Or, you know, how many years can you see yourself doing this HDC before you jump in?
Well, that depends a little bit also in which vertical we're going. I talked to Kevin yesterday and said, look, you know, actually, we should go into restaurants as well. I mean, there's a couple of verticals that we're looking at. And if you look at the possibility that you have with a potential restaurant data cloud, that's also something very interesting for us. The other thing that we're developing right now is a recommendation engine to also monetize the other side of the market. I told you that content distribution is free of charge, mm-hmm. But we understand that by fueling all the information that we have about hotels into a recommendation engine, where we take all the information that we have from the consumer-facing perspective, we can give them much better recommendations. And it works like on Netflix, when you watch a couple of movies and then Netflix recommends you that, you know, based on your movie watching over the last 2 weeks, we recommend you and we think you also like this one. So the recommendation engine will work similar. That means if you look at a hotel at their website and I look at the same hotel, we will get different descriptions, we will get different pictures, depending on our needs. And that also elevates the possibility of a booking. And no CEO, no owner, no project manager of a travel company at the moment can look at that product and say, you know, it's despite of COVID-19, despite of all our losses, I'm not going to look at that amazing opportunity. They wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to justify that to their bosses or to their shareholders. So that's something that we want to really accelerate. That's also the main part of the funding that's now coming in that we're going to use for that to develop the technology even further. That's AI-based and a really exciting opportunity, moving away from being purely just a database for content.
Database, yes.
Into a more sophisticated
more like a tech.
Part. Yeah.
And is your, because always there are developers working on that. Are they based here or are they based globally?
We have an amazing developer team in Vietnam who have been supporting us over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Are they contractors or they're in-house? Or?
It's a contracting company, but we have dedicated developers that just work for us. So it's less a software development house and more a human resource solution that we're using.
Mm. Interesting. Understood. And so the recommendation is simply like because some people might be listening or watching this podcast, they might not be familiar with it. So it's a good thing that you mentioned about Netflix. And if you think about it, it's just like pushing that piece of information in front of you, which you are already consumed at the right time, right? So
yes, it's about understanding the specific requirement of a client and showing them offers that suit them best. To again lessen the requirement for him to do all his research manually and by himself. If you look at Paris, for example, they have 2,000 hotels in Paris. And I can guarantee you there's probably five that interest you. And all the others is just fluff and disturbing you from your finding. And if you don't put the correct filters yourself, you might not even find those five hotels. Because they you don't see the forest because of all the trees in there, right? And that's what we are accomplishing with the recommendation engine, that we pinpoint those five to you. And of course you have the option to say, I don't like the five, I want to look at something else. But it makes it much, much easier for the client to see an offer that is of interest for him. And then he can book that. And again, everybody's happy. Hotel gets a booking, travel agency has a sale, and we have a happy client. And I think that's what I like about HTC so much as well, that we can have people who are not disappointed when they arrive at the hotel because they know exactly what they're expecting.
Sorry, so I think we covered a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of learning on this podcast, especially for those people who wanted to start a startup. And you know, before my last and final question, Gregor, where can people find you? Where can people find more about your your work or maybe your documentary?
Yes. About our work, we have a website for HTC, which is hoteldata.cloud. We are less active on LinkedIn than we actually should be, but that will change now with some of the work that was on my plate is now bleeding off and I can do something else. About the documentary, I have an Instagram account called Der Herr Director, a mix of German and English. And the documentary is going to be released, I hope, somewhere in December. But let's see. I'm following my vet friend, building the first blood bank in the Middle East. And if it's a success, which what we all hope, then we're going to have a success story. And if it's not, then it's probably taking
this blood bank. This is just to segue a little bit. So this is like a nonprofit that is building work partners with hospitals and.
Yes, it is not exactly a non-profit. It is a for-profit company, but he's doing it because he wants to help the animal landscape in the UAE. I've learned a lot yesterday when we were shooting his first interview with him. There's a lot of companies that already have small animal blood banks. And at the moment it works in the UAE is if you need a blood donor for your cat, if you need a blood donor for your dog, you need to search yourself in the community. Sometimes the clinics help you. That is something that if you have a blood bank, then you have equipment readily available.
All right. So, Gregor, my last and final question to you is if everything is stripped away from you, so let's say, I don't know, maybe a year or 2 years or even 5 years from now, and you got to start all over again and, like zero, nada. What would be your main drive to succeed?
Well, my main drive to succeed would be that I always know that I can come up with something exciting to do. I'm 45 now. Throughout my life, there have been a couple of moments where I was almost at that point. And someone else once asked me, he said, Gregor, after a big failure, after something that didn't work out, how do you cope with that? And I thought about it and I said, you know what? Actually, I shrug it off and I just start new. I think that's something that I learned from my piloting days. If you're in a cockpit, if you're in the piloting command and there is something happening, you cannot think for 15 minutes about that problem. You need to focus on how I'm going to solve it. What's my next step? And that's the same way how I approach my business. If there is failure, then we learn from it. We get up and we do it better.
Interesting. And it's really interesting because, being a pilot, you've been trained to, think on exact, precision, right? But interestingly, on building a startup as well, you need to do a lot of experimentation. So how does that work? I'm just really curious on that.
Well, it works fairly well. And what I've seen is what really helped me building the previous company as well as HDC is that I implemented something like standard operating procedures that I'm used from my flying times into my business. So it's really easy for us to scale because once the procedure is in place, it doesn't matter if the department has two people or if it has 20 people. And the constant feedback loop that you also need in an aircraft by looking at your instruments, by looking at talking to ATC, by talking to your first officer or your crew, the constant feedback loop that you're getting, you need to apply that in the startup world as well. There's a lot of things that I implemented from crew resource management, right? Where you said, okay, I need to understand that people communicate differently, that not necessarily what I'm saying is what the other person is receiving. Because in flying, that is a vital thing to have. If you have a misunderstanding with your crew members, if you have a misunderstanding with HTC, you might crash into a mountain, right? So it's absolutely important for us to survive, to take that airplane from A to B in a safe manner. And that's the same way for a company, right? Communication is the key. You need to be sure that everybody is on the same page. And that, I think that's all it takes, and a dedicated team. And a good idea. And if one idea doesn't work, then you'll find another one. I mean, people have 1,000 ideas every day, right? It's about the execution. And I guess that's what we're good in at as well.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey, Gregor. And I really appreciate all the things that you shared about HDC.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, thank you so much. See you in the next episode.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Once again, thank you so much for listening wherever part of the world you are in today. Stay safe and God bless.
Thank you once again for listening to the Drive to Succeed podcast. If you enjoy learning from this podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing this to your friends and tag us on Instagram at @Daniel_Francisco_. Once again, thank you for joining us. See you in the next episode.